So sorry for the inconvenience. I'm pretty sure everyone will remember that I had a technical incident, but no one will remember of my results. So that's a sad thing of science. Anyway, so I will talk about a project that I'm working on with Alex Kasiofia, Tsuo Kazaki, Rivi, Dietrich Bad, and Stan Steffo. And it's talking about the 2.5D formalism that I will detail later. To try to reproduce the observables of Zeta Tauri. So Zeta Tauri is quite a well-known star. I think most of the presentation before me were talking about this object. So it's probably one of the most observable stars. It's a close and bright object, and it's observable from both hemispheres. It exhibits various interesting peculiarities that makes it a very interesting target. First of all, the V2R variations that have been evoked a lot of time before. And it was shown in Kasiofia et al. 2009 that this variation here can be really well explained by the precession of spiral density perturbation inside the disk. Another peculiarity of Zeta Tauri is that it's a shell star. So it is observed with the disk Hadron, and it exhibits in the spectrum various profile, what we call shell line profile, which are really narrow and really deep here. So as a matter of fact, Zeta Tauri is the perfect laboratory to test theoretical models. And our long-term goal is to test the formalism, 3D formalism for global disk oscillation suggested by OGV in 2008, and that Atsuo described a little before. But first, before reaching this objective here, we have to do some preliminary steps, and this is what basically I will present today. So let's start with the observational part and the data. So the talk will focus on the optical spectroscopy. We have more or less 300 spectra, high resolution from professional instruments, and around 200 from amateur observations. And at the very end of the talk, I will mention some polarimetric and infrared spectroscopic data. So for each of these, the optical spectra, for each of the Balmer lines of a label, the first four at least, from H alpha to H delta, we measure various quantities that I present here. So obviously the violet and red emission peak intensities, the corresponding velocities, the central absorption depth, and I mentioned just here, because it's a work in progress, we define the parameter to quantify the asymmetry of the line. So applying this measurement to the bunch of spectra we have, we obtain this kind of plot. So this is the V2R cycle of Zeta Tauri, which is well known. We saw various plots about it. Not so much to say, except that we cover three complete cycles. And each cycle has around 1,400 days of period. So these observations were between 1997 and 2010. After 2010, the large scale V2R variations vanished, and instead took place a really small amplitude variation that might be attributed to the companion. I think here there is some room for the SPH simulation, so that's all, you know what to do with Despina, I think. And after 2010, the equivalent width also dropped to a historically low value. So this V2R cycle will be our reference cycle for all the other quantities we will show. First of all, the peak separation. So as we can see, the points are much more scattered than that was the case for the V2R variation, but still, especially in the second cycle, we can identify a sawtooth pattern. So the peak are more separate during the V2R maximum, and then this separation decreases little by little before going up again. These regions in gray are worth to be mentioning because they correspond to a period where H alpha presents this triple peak configuration, and even H-beta present also a quite perturbed profile. So in this period here, in gray, it's much more difficult to properly measure the velocity and the peak intensity. Interestingly, the shell line profiles are also quite affected during this triple peak period. Here, for instance, you see that the central absorption depth dropped a lot, or in other terms, the shell profiles become exceptionally shallow during this triple peak phase. What seems to be the normal behavior is a more or less constant value, but the sampling is quite poor. And a quick, really quick drop during the V2R maximum. As for the velocity of the central absorption, once again, we have these divergent points here in the triple peak phase of cycle 3, where there is a really exceptionally high blue shift. And the behavior we expect is more a maximum redshift during the V2R maximum and a slight decrease toward the maximum blue shift during the V2R minimum. So this is basically it for the observations. We browsed a portrait of the different observables we have. Let's now go to the models. So for modeling this data, I use the radiative transfer code EdgeDust. It's a 3G non-LTE code, and it is designed to solve a coupled problem of radiative transfer, radiative equilibrium, and statistical equilibrium through a Monte Carlo technique. So providing parameters for describing the central star, the geometry of the system, and the structure of the disk, the code will compute in the first step temperature and density structure, and also the hydrogen population. And in the second step, it will compute the observables we need. For the specific case of Zeta Tauri, which is a highly variable object, we needed a disk structure computed by a code provided by Atsuo Okazaki. It's a 3G global disk oscillation code. So now you can think there is something strange, because in the title of my presentation I mentioned 2.5D models. So how can a combination of a 3D disk oscillation model and a 3D radiative transfer code provide a 2.5D model? The answer will be quite simple. For the moment, EdgeDust is only able to read 3D structure like it did in 2009 for the first analysis. And the interface between the 3D oscillation code and EdgeDust is in preparation. So we had to adopt, we really wanted to use this really nice model from Atsuo, and we had to adopt a quick solution. And it was quick and I would say brutal. We basically cut all the Z components we had from the model and implemented the perturbed density structure in the equator of the disk. Even though it can look like a trick, we will see in a while that it gives quite interesting results. And we still consider it as a useful first step to allow further comparison later for our 3D models. So here I present the three models that will follow us until the end of this presentation. So this is the perturbed density. We imagine the disk seen from above. The lighter colors are for over densities, and the darker color for lower densities. And so the first model is a model from Carciofi et al. 2009. It's a 2D model with a viscosity parameter of 0.4. The second model here is has exactly the same parameters, but with the 2.5D formalism. And one fundamental difference here is the extension of the spiral arm, the confinement of the perturbation mode, basically. So in the 2D model, the spiral arm reach almost the outer reaches of the disk, and here it's much more confined. It's only by increasing the value of alpha that we can again have perturbation mode reaching the outer part of the B disk. So now let's see an application with comparing this model with observations. So first comment, we can here discard the gray model because it's completely wrong when confronting to the observations. So that remains the previous model, which gives a pretty good result, and the 2.5D model in red, that in my opinion gives a better result. They have similar behavior in this region here, but for the most peaked part, we expect a more narrow profile, and the 2.5D models provide this profile. As for the peak separation, the situation is unfortunately reversed. The 2.5D model with the higher alpha has a really strange behavior, while the 2D model, the previous one, provides a really nice sawtooth profile, as we expected, even though the amplitude is still too low compared to the observation. Now it's getting worse when you consider the shell lines. Basically, we cannot fit anything, even if we discard this discrepant point from the triple peak phase. I forgot to mention that I folded everything in phase to compare with model observations. So from the central core depth, basically the 2D model does not provide so much variation. And if I was optimistic, I would say that the 2D models at least show like a really quick drop before coming back to the normal level. But it's an optimistic view. For the velocity, even if we discard these discrepant points, the variation is really too small, and even the phase is not really good. So I could not finish on such bad note, and I had to put some more observables. So let's start with polarization. So like this, it does not seem really good. The fit does not seem really good, for sure. But let's take a look. Let's take a moment. We have a double peak variation from the observation. The 2D model provides a simple peak variation with a very large amplitude, not compatible with the observation. When we switch to the 2.5D model, the phase is not good, but at least we have this double peak structure, and the amplitude is smaller and more compatible with the observations. Finally, considering the VR variation of bracket 15 in the infrared, with the 2.5D model in red here, we solve an issue that occurred in 2009 regarding the phase of bracket 15, of the V2R variation of bracket 15. The blue model here was not able to reproduce the data. We had to shift by 0.15 the model artificially to reproduce the observed phase. And we see that for 2.5D model, the fit is not perfect for sure, but we really improve the agreement. So for the conclusion, I will not speak so much. I will just show this table, saying that only for the peak separation, there is obviously a better, the 2D model is clearly favored for the peak separation, but for all the other observables, we do at least as well or better than before with the 2D model. So for me, it's a really nice result and really encouraging result for the next step. And I'm really looking forward having these 3D, fully 3D models. Before that, I still have some tasks to accomplish. And it will start in a couple of days with modeling and quantifying the line asymmetry. And I will pretty soon after start to try to modeling the interferometric data. And I already started to consider the harmonic relation between the magnitude and the color during the V2R cycle. That's it. Thanks for your attention. Sleepy, angry. Sorry?
Since I know too much about the model.
Yeah, that's a problem. other questions?
What were you using for the turbulent velocity in the line profiles? In particular, I'm sort of interested in you're not getting a whole lot of variation in the central wind depth.
Yeah.
It might be an artifact of.
For the turbulent velocity? For the photospheric profile, you mean? For the
No. And calculating.
Mm-hmm.
One of the parameters is the, I think what we call the best of the Gaussian width of the line profile.
Okay. So I think it's 420 kilometers per second for the convolution, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I use in the model.
I'll talk to you more offline.
Okay.
Other comments? I have one.
Yeah?
When you use the model from ATSO, it also have a kind of viscosity inside this model. So is it compatible with the viscosity that you have to change?
I use the same parameter of viscosity for Atsuo's model. The parameters from Atsuo's model and HGS model are transparent. I try to be consistent. So,
okay. When
I run Atsuo's model, it gives me the structures of density, velocity, and the derivative. And then HGS pick it, read it, and implement it in for the iteration process, iterative process.
Okay, but then after you modify the viscosity to a better agreement, no?
No. I made a lot of tests. These are the three models I use for representation, but I test some different models to see what happens, and I can modify the viscosity also. But
if you modify the viscosity in the 2.5 model, then the density structure
will change. Sure, yeah.
Okay.
I say that 0.8 is the limit I reached because I had some troubles to find the perturbation mode above 0.8, so I stop at this. Maybe I can have a bit better result with a higher viscosity, but I'm not sure of this.
And I remember with the first model from ATSO, you need a very sharp edges in order to confine the mode. So is it still the case, or?
This is the binary system. So you have a outer edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the edge is very sharp. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you can, with ATSO's code, you can change the boundary conditions. If you don't know the size, you can just the boundary conditions to find the mode.
Other questions, comments? No? Okay. Thank you. Thanks again.